columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and T-Mac.
It's our new normal as we're doing our part the best that we can to be smart and do the right thing. So from the man cave in the T-Mac household, it's me, and at the studio is Tyler Columbus. Tyler, my friend, how are you today?
Hello, D-Mac. I'm doing just fine, thank you.
There's some breaking news that has just come out. We have just posted it, that there was a member of the Avalanche who came down with coronavirus, and I think has recovered. This is something that's just kind of coming out right now. So, Kevin, maybe if you have more details, you can let us know what those details are. And Tyler, I don't know if you even heard that.
No, I'm unaware, actually. I don't know anything about it.
I heard about it, like, seriously, like 15 seconds ago.
Okay.
So, Kevin, and people back at the station, if you could get on that and let us know what's what, we'd appreciate it. That'd be cool. It's another day in the new normal. This is with the restrictions in the entire state. Did that impact you at all, my friend?
No, well, I mean, I'm certainly restricted, just like the rest of us, but yeah. No, you know, it was funny, as I was driving in, it actually felt like there was a lot of cars on the highway, I'm not going to
really?
Lie. Yeah,
no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly wasn't traffic or anything, but I was looking around like, gosh, all these people have something essential to be doing right now.
Oh, interesting. Oh, that is interesting. Are you doubting that? You have your papers? You have your form?
I do, yes.
So I
officially have papers that if I get pulled over, I say, I am essential, Mr. Officer.
Okay. All right, I'm getting a note here. The player has been home in isolation since the first symptoms appeared, has recovered, and is back to normal. The Avalanche, let me see. So I'm just catching up with this. Let's see. The Avalanche have notified anyone who has known close contact with this athlete. So this is about the Avalanche. The Avs were advised today that a player had tested positive for COVID-19, went into isolation when symptoms appeared, and has recovered per team release. The club has notified anyone who had known close contact with the player, but we just don't know who the player was.
Okay. Well,
okay.
I guess it sounds mostly positive, to be honest.
It does.
Yep.
Ugh, all this stuff. You know, it's things aren't much different for me, by the way. You know, I did, though. Do you know what a lip dub is?
No. What is a lip dub?
Okay. This started a few years ago, and I think it's more of a high school thing. But it's kind of a cool contest. Katy Perry did a contest to do a lip dub, which just means you lip sync in a large group, like a high school, like all the students of a high school.
Oh, cool.
And you lip dub, you sing, you know, karaoke. Well, not karaoke, you're just, you know.
And I'm sure there's some over-the-top demonstration as well.
Yeah, I think there was a school from Lakewood, and she did a contest, and they won it. It was kind of a big thing. And, you know, so every year, this was quite a few years ago, at, you know, my kids' high school, at Smoky Hill High School, and I think a lot of high schools do once a year a lip dub. It's kind of a great way to acknowledge everybody in the school, and it's a fun thing that they post up on YouTube and school spirit and all that. And I just had not seen my kids' lip dub. This, Tyler, this isn't produced by, you know, expert type of people. These are just people in the school that put this together.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's, you know.
How many people involved?
The whole school.
The entire school.
They take 2 or 3 hours. They, you know, kind of shut down the whole school. And
wow.
They do the lip dub. It's like a thing.
You know, very cool. That's a fantastic way to get the entire school. And in a rare moment, when in high school do you get everybody to get in on the same thing and have fun with it, you know?
Never. And, you know, it includes everything. You know, every organization, every club. It's not just a sports thing at all. It's if
it's
you had
the whole school.
It's everybody. I mean, literally everybody. And so I've really enjoyed watching him over the years, and I just hadn't seen it till today, but it got put out there. Oh, my God, dude. I was in tears. It broke me up. It broke me up more than anything has to this point in all this stuff.
Yeah. You know what? I totally get that. I actually had a moment today where I felt a little bit encouraged. I was at home as my kids are doing their online schooling, and I can't tell you how fantastic it is. It is so awesome. I mean, it legitimately looks to me like they're not going to miss out on anything.
Well, that's good.
They've got great games. They've got great material. The kids go into this Google classroom hangout, and they're on that thing for an hour and a half. Just they're all talking. The teacher's in charge. She mutes them when she has to mute them. She talks to them when she has to talk to them. I actually walked away from it like, you know what? In particular, my school district, and they are doing a fantastic job. And I'm thinking, okay, you know what? We're going to be just fine.
Yeah, we are. We are going to be just fine. And after I had my little cry, you know, I sort of took a deep breath and said, okay, it's going to be all right. And then, of course, I see my son later, and I give him a big hug, and I'm like, oh, I saw the lift up. He's like, oh, Dad.
Yes. I know it's different for you because you're talking about a senior in high school. And,
right.
I mean,
right.
You're talking about more memories. That's really what you're talking
right.
about.
Right, and then it gets maybe even a little confusing. Like, what is he missing out on? What am I missing out on? You know, watching him miss out on stuff, you know, like, so I don't get to, I guess, selfishly, you know, watch him go through these things. But then again, I just thought, like, for the rest of these, the 2020 class, at least when it comes to, like, high school, you don't get a senior prom, and maybe you don't get graduation the normal way. And for these, in terms of sports, Tyler, these spring sport athletes, man, what a rip. You know what I mean? Like, what an unbelievable ripoff. And today is opening day, right? In baseball.
Yes. At least it should have been.
It should have been. And in terms
happy opening day to you.
Same to you. And in high school, they'd have been 5-6 games into their season at this point, right? And look outside right now, dude.
Oh, I mean, it's beautiful.
It's unbelievable, right?
Fantastic, yeah.
So we should be seeing track and soccer and baseball and lacrosse and, you know, all this stuff. I do wonder, Tyler, one of the things, and trust me, I'm not trying to be political at all, but one of the things that I was hearing about today is assessing things, you know, kind of this weird county by county sort of concept. And I do think, things won't return to normal for everybody at the same time. And, man, when you look at what's going on in New York, oh, my God. I mean, that looks absolutely insane. And I'm seeing the horror show that's happening in Spain. And I know here in Colorado, listen, we got our issues for sure. But I do wonder, Tyler, will we be able to bring things back sort of incrementally? What do you think about that?
Well, what do you mean? I mean, like what stages of life, and I'm not just talking about sports, but what stages of life would that happen in order of, you know, like what is the importance? People get back to work in half the workforce, then the full workforce.
The most pressing thing is people's health. But I would say after that, you know, listen, making a living. You know, being able to support your family,
right?
You know, the elements of the economy that make this great country go. I would think that's where we want to go when it makes sense, and you don't want to go nuts. You can't turn the faucet on full and expect everything to start again. So, in terms of the importance of life, those to me things, of course, are more dominant. Your kids are back at school, kind of, right?
Yep.
I mean, they're not with their classmates, but they're not doing nothing.
No, I think they're doing a great job. They're learning just fine right now, actually.
So if I were to turn it to sports a little bit.
My son learned how to write in cursive today.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
They're not even teaching it anymore.
So he learned it. He wanted to learn how to write in cursive. So we bought him a book.
Okay. Well, that's cool. That's great. I can't even think the last time I wrote like a full sentence in cursive. But I mean, you know, hey, knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
Do you watch the TV show Brockmire at all?
No, I don't even know what it is.
Oh my gosh. All right, I'm not going to recommend.
I watched Longmire. Yeah.
No, Brockmire is with Hank Azaria. Listen, I'm not even going to recommend it because it is for it's a different taste. And sometimes I'm not even all that into this particular show. But basically what he is a washed-up baseball announcer who goes through a bunch of trials and tribulations that are – it's a very dark comedy.
Okay.
But one of the things that he – in the new season, and I don't think this is really a spoiler alert, in the new season, it jumps 10 years into the future, and things have fallen apart so badly, as the story of this goes, he is asked to be the commissioner of baseball. And, okay, fine, that's the story plot, it's interesting, it's 10 years in the future. And 10 years in the future, they paint a pretty blight picture of what baseball actually is. So today would have been opening day. The first pitch would have happened about an hour or so ago, and the Rockies would be playing the Padres, which means they would be winning in around, what, the third or fourth inning? Something like that, Tyler. Does that make sense?
Yep, I got you.
The question is, when it comes to, like, baseball, we're going to have Patrick Saunders on here in a second. Tyler, is baseball... It's funny because they talk about this in Brockmire. It should have been opening day. I love baseball, so I'm a little jaded. But is baseball just, you know, kind of graying too much? Does baseball need does it need something to make it more interesting and more entertaining to last for a longer haul?
Nah, I mean, they don't have to do anything crazy, but there are small little changes to the game that you could go about to just like what do people want in today's society? Well, they want something quick. That's what they want. They want something that they can be in and out of, and they don't have to dedicate their entire day to it. We all have ADD. The electronics are just killing us all, you know?
Right.
And so what baseball needs to continue to figure out, to me, the most important, single-handed, is just pace of play. And
right.
there are a few things that they could do to help with that. I read something a while back, and I think this is a great idea. What if late in the games, I guess the entire game, but in particular it comes into play late in the games. What if you had every pitcher that came in, they had a three-batter minimum? You know, so you no longer can match up pitcher for batter, for batter,
rotate. Three guys.
Yeah, you got to throw to three guys. That would do two things. Number one, America wants things quick. Number two, America wants more. You know, America wants more. And what this would do is, number one, it would speed up the pace of play. And then number two, in theory, this would create more runs on the board because you're not going to be able to handpick your pitching matchups every single time.
Hey, I like it. I like it. I think the pace of play for sure. Like, I don't think there's any sporting event, Tyler, that should go more than 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Okay, that sounds about right to me.
We all stretch pro football out to 3 hours, right? It always gets stretched out to 3 hours because that's just the block. But, you know, you really could get through it a lot quicker. There is a stunning amount of, like, just standing around sometimes in an NFL game, and don't even get me started on some of these college games. Holy cow, that can go more than 4 hours for a college football game. I mean, it seems ridiculous.
Those are the worst. They go forever.
They're awful.
The national championship game, do you remember how long that was?
It was like 5 hours long.
It was brutal. It was so brutal.
Joining us is Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post, and we wish Patrick Saunders a happy opening day. That doesn't exist. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, D-Mac, how are you?
I'm doing well. We'd be in the third or fourth inning right now. The Rockies would be winning over the Padres, and you'd be ensconced in the Padres press box, right?
Exactly. Petco Field, one of my favorite ballparks, one of America's great cities. I wear a tie Jack and the Tie at least twice a year. Opening day on the road and opening day at Coors Field. Special day, and unfortunately, we don't have one. So that's a bummer, but there's more important things in life right now.
There's no doubt, but as we're talking about how taking an opportunity about how to make baseball better. And I know that there's certain people that have opinions. Like, I saw Joe Maddon being interviewed, and he wouldn't go into the specifics of what his ideas were. I'm not exactly sure why. But I'm curious, Patrick, if you know of any ideas of how to improve pace of play and make the game of baseball a little bit more interesting.
Well, if I was thinking about this when one of your producers gave me a heads up earlier today, one of the things I would do, I would shorten the season a little bit, not a lot. I'd go down to about 154, mm-hmm. back the way it was before the 162. I'm sure that would never fly with the players' union or the owners because of the lost revenue. But I think if you did that, and maybe even added a couple of few more doubleheaders along the way, I think the season wouldn't go, toward the end of October. I think you'd get over by mid-October. I think that's the way it should be. Pace of play, one of the things I really think they need to do, and I don't think it would disrupt the game itself that much, I think they need to enforce the batter in the batter's box rule a little bit more.
Mm, yeah.
They had that rule come down, I don't know what, Jesus. Tulo was still with the Rockies when that rule came down, so that was a long time ago, 5 years or so.
Right.
The idea being that, you don't strap up your gloves every time and you don't, just get in there and just play baseball. I think that's
right.
Something.
Yeah. You can't call timeout.
Exactly.
You can't call timeout because you're afraid that you don't know what the pitch is,
Yeah, so that's true. They don't enforce that at all. And the other thing, and, I'm sure this is never going to fly, but, part of the problem is probably the time between innings. And I know that's about advertising revenue, but that's part of it. The basic, if you guys are asking me to come up with any ideas on how to change the basic essence of the game, I'm an old school guy. I don't have any ideas on that. I didn't mind it when the intentional walk, just rather than throw the four, pitches that didn't matter. I think that was kind of a smart move. But I really don't have any other specific ideas other than the ones I just threw out to you.
Patrick, what are a few of your favorite opening day moments?
Oh, God. I'm in the post. I've been running a series of my top 25 Coors Field moments for all this week. But there's a handful. I was just a very young reporter for the Longmont paper in 1993 when the Rockies opened their very first season at Mile High. That was crazy. The thing that stands out to me about that game, and I know Eric Young hit a home run and all that, but to me it was the size of the crowd, 80,000 plus. Mm. We waited so long for baseball in Colorado, and
right. The
excitement level was off the charts. And then after that, of course, Dante Bichette hit the walk-off winner in Coors Field's opener in 1995, 14th inning.
Clint Barnes, what year was that?
2004 would have been Clint Barnes.
Yeah.
That's another one that I'd forgotten about. Charlie Blackmon, 2014, went 6-for-6. With a homer and three doubles. That was crazy. Trevor Story. I just was talking to Trevor about a half hour ago for a story I'm working on. We were reminiscing about his debut in 16 where he hit two home runs off Zach Greinke on opening day down at Chase Field. That was another one.
Wow, that's right.
There's no, Kyle Freeland. Kyle Freeland made his
right. His
big league debut was the Coors Field home opener against the Dodgers and beat them. So there's been a lot of Rockies have produced some pretty interesting games on opening day. And by the way, I'm watching the replay right now of the Nolan Arenado Father's Day game when he concluded his cycle by hitting the walk-off to beat the Giants, and we're in the ninth inning now. So Nolan's historic walk-off homer is going to be coming up here in about 15 or 20 minutes.
Oh, man. Those are all good stuff. It's bumming me out, actually, even thinking about it.
Yeah, and me too, right? Because what? You ask me questions in July or August when I'm kind of tired and I've been on the road and the games get a little monotonous. But on opening day, man, there's something about it.
I know.
And Tyler,
so
of course, you're a football player, and I know the first game of the season is a big deal, and it is in the NBA and the NHL and college football. But, you know, you got to have a little romance in your soul, I guess, about baseball, because opening day in baseball.
Oh, it's different.
Something about it.
Oh, it's
right?
it's the entire city. It's bars. It's downtown. It's everything.
Well, let me ask you, trying to stay more optimistic, I guess, here.
Yeah.
There has been some conversation about what will happen once the season begins. And one of the ideas that I saw today was to do something like the NCAA tournament. Now, the way the NCAA tournament does it, it's kind of like basketball, sort of. But it's not just a single elimination. It's 64 teams, and there's 8 brackets of 4 teams. How's my math there? Maybe not good. I don't know. They do it somehow. So maybe, oh, it's 16. I'm sorry. So 16 brackets of 4 teams, and it's double elimination. So you'd have, now obviously there's only 30 major league clubs, but the concept is that you would play, say, a 50 or 60 game schedule, and then you would go into a tournament format. So everybody would participate however you want to break it up, and you would have a regional, I guess some form of super regional where it's just 2 teams going against each other. And then you would go into a World Series format like they do in Omaha, which is 8 teams in a double elimination format. Patrick, what do you think? Do you think something like that could be kind of interesting? Could be a good thing
for
baseball?
I do. I think it depends on, you know, when baseball, you know, actually comes back. I mean, if it's June, which is possible, I suppose, mid-June maybe, early June, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's possible. And then you play, you know, a limited schedule. But if it becomes, you know, late July or August, that's something I'm sure would fly. I love the College World Series type thing that you're talking about. And, you know, for a short season, I think the baseball should get creative, right? Because the records and everything else are going to be out the window. It's going to be a whole new ballgame, so to speak.
Right.
I think something like that would be great. I've heard people say they should do it kind of like the World Baseball Classic does it. Now, that would be, you know, maybe not as cool as what you just described.
What's their format? How does the World Baseball Classic?
Well, I'm not sure, because there's almost a play-in game thing, and it's, you know, they eliminate the weak teams very early in the process. So, you know, that's almost more like World Cup soccer-like. So I like your idea better, or the idea that you talked about, but it's going to be interesting to see. You know, I've also heard that there's a possibility, and Bud Black actually endorsed this on the radio the other day, I heard, that if the season is shortened dramatically, but they would backload regular season games, that means the playoffs would probably have to take place in the World Series at a neutral warm weather site or a dome site.
Well, okay.
You know, and I guess
so
that's
what?
Okay. I mean,
yeah.
You know, the fans wouldn't get the chance to root their home team on in the playoffs, I suppose. But I'd better that than no playoffs at all, or having trying to squeeze in games at Coors Field in, you know, on November 23rd or something. That would be ridiculous.
All right.
It would be kind of fun.
Well, oh my God! No, thanks.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun.
They always leave the press box windows open, and I don't think I want to do that.
Well, fortunately, they've reduced the size of the press box to basically a gym locker, so you can stay warm all theoretically huddled together.
Exactly.
Thank you, Patrick. We appreciate it.
See you, man.
Okay, guys, be safe.
Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post. When we come back, the water cooler. Tyler, Eric Dickerson, what is his problem? This dude is something else. Details next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say to do here?
Well, Tyler, I don't know if you heard about this, but Eric Dickerson is at it again. Now, he is the vice president of business development. Dude, that sounds just like a position you give somebody for a business card and, you know, maybe you get a parking space and some tickets to the game. You know what I mean?
Hey, you got a cool name. Maybe you should be associated with the team.
Yeah, exactly. But they don't want to just make you the, Eric Dickerson is signing things the Rambassador. So perhaps that should be on his card. But they put out a new logo for the LA Rams, and some people are frustrated about it. Amongst them, Eric Dickerson, a guy who technically works for the team. Now think about this just for a second. The Rams organization, led by Stan Kroenke, I guess, put together colors and a new uniform and new logos. And yeah, I get it. They're trying to sell stuff. Okay, fine. Everybody's trying to sell stuff. But then they put it out there. And all of a sudden, one of the most prominent members of your organization, in fact, your vice president of business development, goes out there and says, Rams fans, I reviewed your comments regarding new logos and share in your disappointment. I'll be speaking with the Rams on our behalf.
Wow.
Please like if you prefer the logo on the left and retweet and vote for the logo on the right. Rams.
In other words, he's putting his own logos out
yeah.
there. Hey, these logos
yes.
that I kind of like. You yes. know, maybe we can use our power and we can turn this into, you know, like the real logo. Oh,
yeah.
By the way, I happen to work for the team that I'm bashing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I happen to collect a paycheck from these guys. Oh, if you want to take it to like the local level here in Denver to fully understand what this is.
Yeah.
Think about Steve Atwater. Steve Atwater
right.
works for the club right now, right?
Right.
He's
right.
like, yeah, I forget what his official title is, but he's at all the community events, and he's an ambassador for the club, more or less, you know?
Sure.
That would be the equivalent of Steve Atwater, a Broncos legend and
right.
paid ambassador of the organization,
right.
coming out and blasting what the Broncos' decisions are.
It's unthinkable. I mean, it's ridiculous. And he signs it, the Rambassador. Eric Dickerson.
Dude, I can't even believe that Eric Dickerson is still employed by the Rams. Do you remember going back
neither.
To the Jeff Fisher era?
Of course.
Oh,
he's upset
gosh.
About being he's criticizing the team, he's ripping the team.
Jeff Fisher's like, you're no longer allowed on the sidelines. You're no longer allowed
right.
me. Just
right.
get out of my hemisphere.
Right, listen, Eric, if you want to just go be a talk radio show host, go for it. You know, find a radio station that cares about whatever you have to say. But this is, I mean, I am just...
What do you do when you walk into work and you're like, hey, guys, I am publicly trying to sabotage you right now. Your logo sucks. We all hate it. And I'm going to figure out a good one for you.
I'm stunned. And the Steve Atwater thing, that is, I mean, it's even funnier on another level because we all know Steve
Atwater
is the world's nicest human being.
Of course he is, right?
Like, seeing Steve upset about anything, that would be a first. But yeah, you're not too far off.
Eric Dickerson's, he's been at this for a long time. He is very, very vocal about all of his opinions when they are negative about the Rams. By the way, what do you think of the Rams logo?
It's fine. Whatever. You know, I don't care. I'll give you this.
I kind of like the musclehead one that Eric Dickerson put out. The one that was on the right.
I do think both of the logos that were, I guess, created by the fans, I actually do think are better than what the Rams put out there. So I'm not even going to say they're wrong about that.
I agree. I totally agree.
And, I mean, maybe the Rams should have put something out for some sort of public vote, put up a couple billboards or social media, draw some excitement like that. Hey, what do y'all think? But
no, that's a terrible idea.
Why is that a terrible idea?
Because no matter what, then you're going to know that there's going to be a huge – segment of people that do not like the logo, okay, no matter what.
Fine, you're touching on something else.
You just tell them what it is.
Right. Eric Dickerson, nobody's going to like everything. You're never going to find, and the people that don't like things are going to be the most annoying about it. We just didn't expect, like, you, who works for us, to be spearheading the complaints.
Oh.
So, Eric Dickerson. Hey, on another note, and this is going back to our baseball conversation real quick. Tyler, what would you think? And I don't know if you heard about this. What would you think when baseball comes back, they do doubleheaders that are 7 innings a game?
Okay, I'm into it.
You're all right with that, huh?
Yeah, I'm totally all right with it. What's the real difference? You know, so you knock a couple innings off, so the strategy just shortens up. You get your starters out of there earlier. Matter of fact, it'd probably improve quality of play to some degree.
I think so, too. In fact, I think the concept of 7-inning doubleheaders should and could be something for the long haul. And it is 7-inning doubleheaders are very common in high school and college, by the way. All tournament in high school baseball is only 7 innings, period. But even college teams play, I'm talking like Pac-12, will play 7-inning doubleheaders, under a certain set of circumstances. And doubleheaders happen all the time in baseball up until Major League Baseball.
There's a question on revenue with that, though. When you've got a doubleheader in baseball, do you sell tickets to both to separate events there, or is it one ticket and you stay in the building?
Well, I got it's... It depends. If it's a day-night doubleheader, they clear the building out, and then they bring everybody back in because there's 4 or 5 hours between games. So
okay.
You have a game like at noon or 1 o'clock.
I mean,
I guess
where I'm headed is if you're not generating the multiples in revenue by having the doubleheader, I would say just get rid of the games. Just whatever the extra amount of games are, just get rid of them. There's plenty of games left to play.
Yeah. I have another big idea with baseball, too. See if you like this.
All right.
When I lived in Buffalo, I can't believe anything good came of my time in Buffalo. But when I lived in Buffalo, skiing was, not great around Buffalo. So there was this place, Kissing Bridge was the name of the ski place. And every run was about 20 seconds long. It wasn't much of a mountain, Tyler. So what they did is they sold 1 hour access. So you could buy an hour or 2 hours on the slopes. You didn't have to buy a full day or a half day lift ticket. What if in baseball you got a sliding scale for ticket prices based on the inning that was about to start?
So you could show up just in the fifth inning? And...
That's right.
No, that's a bad idea.
Why is that a bad idea?
Because everybody would wait. Nobody cares about the first three innings.
Oh, I don't know, dude. There's, I don't know. You wouldn't find that a little bit more appealing? Like I only want to see 2 hours of baseball anyways.
Oh, as a fan? No. That's my whole point. I think as a fan, you would love it so much that the club would end up losing so much money because you don't care about the first three innings, so you're always going to show up somewhere between the third and the fifth.
Yeah, but the game may be sold out. You don't know what I don't know, dude. I just think I have shown up at baseball. If I knew I could get into a baseball game, say, if I was downtown, and I could get into a baseball game for, say, $5 in the eighth inning, and there's empty seats, there's seats to be had, why not? It gets me. It's like you get me in the park, I stay for about 45 minutes or so, maybe I buy a bunch of stuff. I guess my point is here, Tyler, is because of what's going on, this is going to be interesting in sports, because I think just about every sport is going to have to think about things differently. And I'll be very curious what changes because of that. And I think if there's any sport, and this is opening day, if there's any sport that needs to really rethink how they just kind of do everything, I think it's baseball more than any of the other sports. I really do.
Well, maybe, baseball is a game of the purists, though. Baseball fans are kind of similar to hockey fans in one way. They are very protective of their game.
Yeah, they're idiots. I've dealt with them my entire life, and it's ridiculous. And I look at them, I'm like, what are you doing? And I, hey, man, I am a I'm Mr. Baseball. I love baseball. Baseball has been such a huge part of my life. And I think because it's such a big part of my life, Tyler, I look at it and I'm like, this is dumb. There are better ways to do things. For sure. And I don't know, maybe some positive things will come out of all of this. Hey, we have another celebration for today. It's perhaps one of the greatest Broncos, if not the greatest Bronco of all time. And maybe this is the last year we can say that. We'll tell you who that is next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
The Blitz. Miller. Down. Cole Swivels. Second and 10. Rush is coming. Miller, the first man there for Denver. 34. Down he goes again. For Miller. Here comes pressure, and it got to him. The ball is out in the end zone, and it's recovered by Malik Jackson for the touchdown. It was Vaughn Miller with the strip sack, and Jackson with the recovery.
Well, happy birthday to Vaughn Miller. Vaughn Miller is 31 today.
The big 3-1.
Pretty good, 31, huh?
Pretty jacked at 31.
31 for Vaughn Miller.
That was a hard out on the birthday
music.
Yeah, I know. That was like the party, like talking about a party that just ended. Party's over. Turn off the lights.
Get out.
That's enough, Vaughn. We don't care about you anymore.
We're working through some things here, Tyler. You understand. Maybe next time Kevin could just run that. That'd be the way to do that one. But that's cool.
Oh, that was your fault, huh?
Okay. Oh, no. Nobody's fault. Nobody's fault in times like these, that's for sure. 31 for Vaughn. You know what's interesting about Vaughn Tyler is look at the top three picks in his draft. Cam Newton, Vaughn Miller, and Marcel Darius. Well, I mean, Cam is, maybe we'll talk about Cam a little bit later because he's available. And Darius, boy, as far as I know, he's still a free agent unless something has happened that I'm not aware of. You never know.
I don't think so.
So he's out there as well. And then you got Vaughn. How would you sum up Vaughn's career?
Hall of Fame, as good
right
as you
now.
Can possibly get.
Right now, Hall of Fame, if he yeah. stopped playing.
Right now, Hall of Fame. Yep.
What makes him a Hall of Famer right now?
Man, just you got to take into, of course, all the sacks matter, but the most important thing is you've got a Super Bowl win. Not only do you have a Super Bowl win, you got the ring. You got the MVP of the right. biggest game that you could possibly play in. You've got a ridiculous amount of sacks. It's come year in, year out. You're only 31 years old. The amount of sacks is going to continue to stack up. But even if it were to end right now, what he's got on his resume is Hall of Fame worthy.
8-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first-team All-Pro, 2011 Defensive Rookie of the Year. Never the Defensive Player of the Year. Never got that one. But you don't start a conversation about the best players of the past years and not have Vaughn Miller's name be prominent.
No.
I agree.
He's everywhere.
I agree with you. And because I think in terms of like the Hall of Fame, how good were you compared to who you were playing with? And when you were playing at your best, what kind of impact did you have?
Yeah, think about that for a second, right? So you're on a Super Bowl team. You won the championship. You got the ring. You got the Lombardi. And you were the best player on that team, on that game. You were the MVP. That's got to mean a lot, you know?
So what's the future for Vaughn with the Broncos? At 31, you know, it's funny. Is 31 old or is 31 young for a defensive end, for a pass rushing outside linebacker defensive end?
Oh, it's getting old for sure. You know,
yeah?
pass rushers, in particular what Vaughn does. Now, I'm not trying to apply this directly to Vaughn because I think he's got plenty of speed and burst left. But when you play on the outside like that, you rely so much on your athleticism. And when you play on the inside, when you're one of the bigger guys, and this goes for offensive linemen as well, you don't have to rely on the athleticism as much. You get by with your knowledge of the game and just the crafts and the nuances. But when you play out there on the edge, man, everything is about your burst. It's all about getting that tackle to open up his hips. And the only way you can do that is by being the fastest man on the field. So at 31 years old, naturally, your athleticism, it starts to decline.
Is he worth $20 million a year? next year?
That depends on what he does this year.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. This is a... I'm not going to call it a make-or-break moment for Vaughn because there's nothing to make or break, you know?
Like, well, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. You know, but it as far as where he's going with the Denver Broncos, I don't think he'll be around unless he's got an extremely impactful year this year.
Did Vaughn slow down a little bit last year, or did he get unlucky? And when I say unlucky, you know, grabbing for Jacoby Brissett and getting his hand warmer.
Yeah.
When they play inside, like, why has he got a hand warmer? You got a roof. I think of all the times Vaughn was just like, man, it was right there. I mean, he gets Jacoby Brissett there. They win that game. That's a W for the Broncos.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, he probably had 4 sacks that were like, I mean, split second type of deal. He got 8 sacks on the year, right? So if let's say he fell into 2 or 3 of those and he got 10 or 11 sacks on the season. That would be a pretty dang good year, right? 8 sacks, guess what? That's still a pretty dang good year. But if you're asking me, did he have a little bit of a drop-off, a little bit of a decline? Yeah, yeah, he did. Yeah.
So in your mind, I guess statistically, what would it take for Vaughn to be back with the Broncos and continue to be making the money that he's making, the $20 million a year? What would that season look like?
That's a good question. And it might not be as much, like, it might not be as impactful as people think it has to be. 8 sacks this year. If he did that again this year, I think he'd be back again. 8 sacks.
Okay.
That's a highly productive season.
You got to throw some other stats at me, some quarterback pressures or some, you know, or Bradley Chubb stats? I mean, if Bradley Chubb has 15 sacks, are those 15 sacks because everybody's paying attention to Vaughn?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
by the way, were teams last year really? They really weren't, were they? It was. Nobody was really. Were they changing defenses to stay away from Vaughn last year, Tyler?
Oh, I think so. Yeah,
really.
I mean, you've got so as an offensive line, what you do every single week is you say, okay, who is the most impactful rusher? So now we're going to change all of our slides. Anytime we're in empty protection, we're always going to go slide right. We're going to go slide left. We're going to go to that player who was on the opposite side of Von Miller the entire season. Nobody. Nobody was on the opposite side of Von Miller. So when you're game planning for the Denver Broncos, what do? You come up with the protection to neutralize the best players. And the best players were Derek Wolfe and Von Miller, whom 90% of the time were playing on the exact same side. So, yeah, they were getting schemed up.
And now the great news, of course, if some wise guy, nasty question-asking reporter says, is marijuana part of your life? Von could reply, so what if it is?
What? What? Hold on, what?
The NFL has changed, Tyler. What can I tell you?
Oh, I got you. Do you know what Vaughn's doing on his birthday, by the way?
I do not know. What?
You don't know?
No.
He's 31 years old today. It was a big moment. We're in the middle of the quarantine. What's he going to do? Well, go check out his Instagram. At 9:30 this morning, he was throwing a rager in his basement. Him, himself, and him.
Is that right?
Yes, he was. He pulled out the microphone. He had the DJ tables.
Really?
Gave himself a shout-out on his birthday.
No way.
9:30 a.m.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, man, we love Vaughn, man.
He's the best.
He is the best. Vaughn is the best. We're so lucky to have him, that's for sure. Okay, speaking of the Vaughn draft class, another argument made for Cam Newton to join the Broncos. You'll hear who that's from next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.